the dusty road, a little rugged now. Walk the old time picture with the Bible in his hand. Praying as he strolled along, dear God, I need you now. I pray that you will visit your stone in the grove. Old time picture man, preach about the promise and not the world to old time preacher man, preacher for the salsa man, preacher by the flame. Down at the altar bell, all my sins fell, my arm in a prayer. I believe I was a saint today, seen was yesterday. Love the house of God, is just wished to be. Within that country church, to preach and pray and sing. When we preach God's holy word, it makes sense so glad. For the modern church needs a little love of the old-time preacher. Old-time preacher man, preach about the gospel of the Lord's name. Old-time preacher man, preach the gospel of the Lord's down at the altar of all my sins, fell my name with prayer. I believe I was the same today, seen was yesterday. I believe I was the same today, seen was yesterday.
All right. Well, that was a little bit hot there. You might want to turn that thing down just a bit. And I'm glad that you came back tonight. Let me get some of this stuff off of here. I don't want to break his glasses and use my love offering to pay for that. But I'm glad that you're here tonight. Thank you for coming out. And this is a good crowd. I appreciate you coming back on Sunday night. And I hope that you come back on your midweek service on Wednesday night. Make sure that you're here for that. And if you get a chance, visit my table in the back. Of course, that will only be here for tonight. After the services, I'll leave it up for a few minutes. And then, so if you could get back there and get something off of it, I'd appreciate that. And, of course, if you get a chance, visit my website, DonnellyMinistries.com. You can visit up where I'm going, where I'm preaching at as I go around the country. I hope that you can visit my website and see what I'm doing. Pray for me everywhere I go. If I get everybody, just at least pray for me while I'm traveling. I'd appreciate that. I do stay quite busy, but God's been mighty good, and I'm certainly grateful of that. And thank you so much for coming out tonight for a good evening service. Take your Bibles now. Turn it to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter number 7. We're going to start reading in verse 18 this evening. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. And once you have found that, let's all stand as we read the Word of God this evening. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. The Bible says in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now let me point out a couple things to you, if I can, from a couple verses here. I want you to notice in verse 23, he says, "I see another," notice what he says, "a law in my members." And then he says, "warring against the what? The law of my what? Mind." So we have a law of the members and the law of the mind. Drop down to verse 25. He says in the second sentence there, verse 25, he says, "So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now you notice in these verses, there's two different types of laws. There's a law of the mind and there's a law of the flesh. Now we notice in these verses, the law of the mind is the mind that is supposed to be the one that's in control. And I want to talk to you tonight. We see these two laws, these two going at a war with each other. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the battle of the mind versus the flesh. The battle of the mind versus the flesh. I believe if you'll listen to me tonight, I can be a great help to you. I said this to the preacher this afternoon over lunch. I said to the preacher, I said, you got a lot of young Christians in the church, and that's good. But young Christians have to grow up. Somewhere, younger Christians, those who have not been saved long, somewhere you've got to take the step up and don't stay the baby Christian. Now, for instance, if my daughter's 7 years old, if she was still in diapers and I was still having to give her a bottle every day and treat her and put her in sing her lullabies to go to sleep, you'd say, man, what? She there's something wrong with her. Now I'll be honest with you. I've been in churches where I've seen Christians have people, they've been saved for 10, 15 years, but they still act like baby Christians. And it all comes down to what I want to speak about tonight. I hope you listen to me. I want to help you out as I speak to you on the subject, the battle of the mind versus the flesh. Father, take these next few minutes and let me help your people. I certainly do want to help them. I cannot do it by myself. So I ask the Holy Spirit of God tonight, come down upon this place. Hover over us, I pray. Speak to hearts. May every one of us walk out of this place a different person, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Why is it that once we get saved, it seems like the struggle with doing right seems to get a little bit harder? When before we got saved, when we get saved, it seems like doing right should just come naturally. It seems like when you get saved, you would think that once I get saved, okay, doing right should become a whole lot easier. But the truth is, before you got saved, you didn't have that battle because you wasn't as concerned with it. But once you get saved, that battle for doing right seems to become a whole lot harder. Now, why is that? Let me explain. Before you got saved, there is nobody, the Holy Spirit was not living inside of you. The Bible teaches us that when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside. So what happens is, before you get saved, there's no Holy Spirit inside of you to convict you of the wrong that you're doing. But once you get saved, the very split second that you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible teaches us that God's Holy Spirit moves inside of us and He dwells inside of us. The Bible says that we are that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved tonight, the body that you have no longer belongs to you. It belongs to God. Now, because that body belongs to God, why does it belong to Him? Because the Holy Spirit now dwells inside of every person that is saved tonight. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You see, but once that Holy Spirit moves inside of you, a battle then begins to rage inside of your body, and it's a battle between the mind and the flesh. Let me illustrate, if I may, tonight. Can I use you? Won't you come up here and help me just a little bit? I want you to just stand right here. Now we're going to let him represent. What's your name?
Joe.
Huh?
Joe.
We're going to let Joe represent a lost person for a few minutes. I hope he gets saved tonight. But anyway, we're going to let Joe represent a lost person tonight. Now, before Joe got saved, he could smoke a cigarette, act like you're smoking a cigarette. Now, it didn't bother him before he got saved. Before he gets saved, he can drink a can of beer. Go ahead. Yeah, you act like you've done that too many times. But anyway, but he starts drinking that can of beer, and it doesn't bother him before he got saved. Before he got saved, he started cussing. Don't you dare do that tonight. But he started cussing, and it never bothered him when cuss words came out of his mouth before he got saved. You see, before he got saved, he could tell lies, and it didn't bother you. You tell a lie, and he says he looks handsome, and he lies about it. I'm sorry.
side. But he tells lies and didn't bother him before he just say, but something happened. One day, somebody came by his house. And that day, somebody showed him the Bible. He bowed his head, and he prayed, received Christ as a Savior. Get back up here now. There you go. Now, he's a saved person. Now, I want you to notice what happens. Now, what happens is the Holy Spirit moves inside. Well, of course, we all know once you get saved, you don't immediately change to that person you're supposed to become. It is an ongoing process of us constantly changing into that new man that God wants us to become like. But what happens is now there's a Holy Spirit that lives inside of Joe. So all of a sudden, Joe picks up those same cigarettes that he picked up before he got saved. He starts smoking that cigarette. Go ahead, smoke it. Hey, don't do that. What's wrong with you? What happened? Holy Spirit all of a sudden says, hey, don't do that. All of a sudden, he goes to drink a can of beer. Go ahead, drink a can of beer. Go ahead. No, go ahead. What's the matter? You see, all of a sudden, just go ahead and act like you're going to drink a can of beer. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, hey, don't do that now. You see, before, he never had that. Before, you didn't feel that before, did you? I juggled that whole brain up there. He's kind of wobbly right now. But no, all of a sudden now we need a chiropractor over here. But no, the truth is, before he got saved, he never felt that. You didn't feel the pain before you get saved, did you? All of a sudden he got saved. All of a sudden he starts doing wrong. And man, it's not as easy to do wrong once you got saved, because now there's a Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, and that Holy Spirit now makes you feel uncomfortable, doesn't he? Every time he goes to do wrong, that Holy Spirit starts poking on that heart right there and says, hey, don't do that stuff right there. What? The Holy Spirit. And if you're saved tonight, you know what I'm talking about. Once you got saved, God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Ladies and gentlemen, what happens is the Holy Spirit moves inside, and all of a sudden, that Holy Spirit, as he moves inside, he begins to convict us of the wrong that we're doing. Thank you. You can go have a seat now. Now, that's what happens when we get saved. Now, that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about here in the book of Romans, chapter 7. Let me explain, if I may. The Apostle Paul, we're talking the great Apostle Paul that wrote, that God used to pen most of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul begins to talk about a battle that's going on inside of every Christian. That battle is this. That battle is, he says, there's things that I know that God commands me to do, and he says, I want to do those things. But he says, here's the problem. He says, every time I start doing what I know God tells me to do, he says, I find myself not doing what I'm supposed to do. Anybody ever been to that point right there? Yeah, we all have. But all of a sudden, then he says, I know there's some things the Bible teaches me not to do. He says, and the truth is, he says, I don't want to do those things. But he says, as I began to walk through the day, I find myself doing the things that I should not do. And all of a sudden, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing right here and explaining this battle that's going on inside of him, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We almost see the Apostle Paul getting a little discouraged, almost see the Apostle Paul thinking like, man, this may be a hopeless case, but all of a sudden he comes back with the answer. He says, who shall deliver us from the body of this death? And he says, I thank God through what? Through Jesus Christ. Hey, that's where your victory comes in. It comes from Jesus Christ working through you by his Holy Spirit and convicting you. That's how you clean up your life. Now, the Apostle Paul is not saying we're a bunch of helpless people. That's not what he was teaching us. He was teaching us there's a battle that rages inside of every Christian. If you're saved tonight, you know there's a battle that goes on inside. You know that battle that rages inside. And there's some of you tonight, you're good people, but you mess up every once in a while. Hey, only thing that you realize when you mess up, you still have this flesh to deal with. And this flesh, you'll never stop dealing with it until you get to heaven. So as long as we live, we deal with the flesh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, somewhere, though, we've got to learn there is a battle that goes on with the mind, and there's a battle that goes on with the flesh, and this battle will go on until the day we die. Let me give you a few statements, then let me preach at you, and then we'll go home, but don't get excited. I'm not almost done. Statement number one, the flesh lives for the immediate, while the mind lives for the future. Listen carefully. The flesh lives for the immediate, while the mind lives for the future. Listen carefully to this. The flesh says, the mind realizes there's consequences to every action. And by the way, there are. Everything we do in life, there's a consequence. Now the mind realizes there are consequences to every action, but the flesh says, it'll never happen to me. Are you with me? The mind says, hey, Domley, don't do that. There's a consequence to that action. The flesh is, oh, don't worry. That won't happen to you. You know how it is. Somebody, they start taking a few drugs here and there. Well, I'll never get addicted. That won't happen to me. But what? That's the flesh talking to them. But when you're saved, there's a Holy Spirit that's inside of you and says, hey, you ought not to do it. There's a consequence to that action right there. And the truth is, you got to understand, there are consequences to every action that we have inside of life. You see, the mind makes every decision thinking about tomorrow. Consequences, while the flesh says, oh, don't worry about tomorrow, just enjoy the pleasures of right now while you have it right now. But I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen, we had better consider tomorrow's consequences, because what I do today will affect my enjoyment of tomorrow. Oh, you may enjoy today's pleasures, because the Bible teaches us that sin is pleasure for a season. But ladies and gentlemen, once that season is over, then comes reaping time, and you will have to deal with those consequences the rest of your life. So you better listen to the mind. Why? Because the mind is telling you, hey, there's a tomorrow. And tomorrow, you have to live with what you do today. That's why you ought not to rush into anything. That's why you ought not to rush into marriage. That's why you ought not to rush into a dating relationship. That's why you ought not to rush into business dealings. That's why you ought not to rush into a lot of things that we just jump into. Why? Because there's a tomorrow that you have to deal with the decision you make today. Now, you better be careful. Why? Because there's consequences to today's actions. So I said, statement number one, the flesh lives for the immediate, while the mind lives for the future. Statement number two, the mind lives by principles, while the flesh lives by feeling and emotion. Are you with me so far? Listen. The mind says every decision and every action that I do in life ought to be done on purpose. For instance, this morning, I said, you ought to live by what? Schedule. What's that? That's living by principle. That's letting your schedule dictate what you do every moment of the day. That is living by principle. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the mind wants you to do. Let me tell you what the flesh does. The flesh says, oh, hey, if it feels good, do it. Flesh says, hey, it can't be that bad. It feels pretty good. Oh, it may feel good right now. Well, what happens when it's all done? I remember years ago when I used to work at a paper factory out in California. I served God since I was a kid, but when I'd work at this paper factory. I remember on Fridays, a lot of the guys I'd work with, they're talking about what they're going to do all weekend long. They're talking about going out, getting stone drunk. They look at me and say, hey, Dominic, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I said, on Saturday, I'm going to go out and knock on doors, tell people how to go to heaven. On Sunday, I'm going to pick up kids in our van route and our bus route. I'll pick them up. I'll go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I said, I'll come back to work on Monday. They said, that's boring. Well, Monday morning would come. They'd all come back, talk about how they got drunk. They kind of laugh at me. I said, let me ask you something. I said, how'd that toilet smell after you got after you had that hangover and you was puking up your guts on Sunday morning? I said, that toilet didn't smell too good. I said, I've never had to hug a toilet. You see, there's consequences to every action. And I said, the truth is, we have got to understand, hey, the mind says there's a consequence for tomorrow. Now listen to me, the mind realizes that when you make decisions inside of life, you've got to base those decisions upon the principles of the Word of God. But the flesh says, hey, if it feels good, listen, if you're looking for a feeling, stick your finger in a light socket, you'll get a feeling. But that light socket won't give you the feeling you see, just like sin doesn't. It may give you an immediate satisfaction, but the hurt of that sin will hurt you for a long time. Which leads me to statement number three. The flesh can only do what the mind allows it to do. Yeah, I know this seems simple, but you better understand this. This body can only do what my mind tells it to do. Be quite honest with you, this battle between the mind and the flesh I'll be honest with you, sometimes we all fall into the stupid area because we listen to the flesh, when in all reality, this flesh, this body, can only do what our mind tells it to do, which leads me to statement number four. The flesh is to be servant to the mind, not the mind servant to the flesh. Hey, God never intended for the mind to listen to the flesh to tell the flesh what to do. Hey, okay, let me tell you what happens. The flesh says, this is what happens to a backslidden person, to a powerless person. The powerless person, the person has no power of the Holy Spirit upon them. What happens is the flesh tells the mind, I want to do this. Now listen, the body cannot do that without the mind giving permission to the body to do it. But the mind says, oh, you want to do it, body? Go ahead and do it. So the body goes ahead and does it, and what happens? Because the mind is not servant, because the mind is servant to the flesh, you lead yourself into hurting. But let me tell you what a person that's right with God does. What the person that's right with God, the mind tells the body what to do. Now, sometimes the body doesn't like doing it. Sometimes the flesh, it's not enjoyable because the flesh does not enjoy it. But listen to me, if you listen to your mind, you keep yourself out of a lot of heartache. You keep yourself out of a lot of sorrow. Hey, some of you here tonight, I promise you, some of you who are here tonight, and I know this because we all go through this at times. Some of you, you're here tonight only because your mind told you to come here. You really didn't want to come, but you came because your mind told you to come. Huh? Now, it's funny, at the end of the night, you'd be happier that you listened to your mind than if you'd have sat at home and done nothing. Because if you'd have sat at home, you'd have felt guilty. If you'd have sat at home, you'd have known I should have been at church. If you'd have sat at home, you'd have said, man, if I'd have sat at home, I'd have probably got myself into something I shouldn't have got in. Now, why? Because you listened to your mind. You said, flesh, I'm not coercing to you. You said, mind, I'm going to let you control me. And the Holy Spirit, controlling your mind, told your flesh what to do. Your flesh obeyed the mind, and you're here tonight doing right. And that's a classic example of how we ought to serve God every day. You have, listen, could you imagine a computer running without a central processing unit? It wouldn't work, would it? That computer would fail. It needs a hard drive. It needs something to tell it what to do. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what happens is we don't let our central processing unit, called our brain, think for a while, and you better learn to let your brain think for a while instead of letting your flesh think. Your flesh will do whatever feels good. That's why people get in debt. Why? Because they get in debt because they listen to the what? They listen to the flesh. They get in debt because they go out there, they see something they want to buy, they swap a credit card out. Before long, they're $15,000, $20,000 in debt on credit cards. They don't know how they're going to get out of it. Why? Because they listen to the flesh. And the flesh will always lead you down a path that will hurt you. Which leads me to statement number five. Every sin or mistake that we make in life is when we allow the flesh to make decisions and not the mind. Listen, you trace every mistake you've made in life and tell me if your mind made the decision and not your flesh. Huh? You know that bad dating relationship you had? What was leading you? Your flesh, not your mind. Because your mind told you, you know what, this probably isn't the person I should be hanging around. Huh? Because your mind has more common sense than the flesh does. Now, you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, hey, every sin, every mistake, and I include myself, I include your preacher, every mistake I've ever made, every mistake that he's ever made is because we allowed our flesh to tell us what to do and not the mind. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, your flesh will lead you down a path of heartache and sorrow. Now, you got to understand, hey, the mind is to tell the flesh what to do. This flesh is to be servant to the mind, which leads me to statement number six. The mind brings happiness, but the flesh brings heartache. The mind brings happiness, but the flesh brings heartache. Listen, there's a big difference between the beginning and the ends of the mind and the flesh. Let me illustrate. The beginning of flesh is fun and easy. the beginning of flesh, it's easy to do what the flesh tells you. Hey, anybody can do what the flesh tells you to do. But the end of listening to the flesh is heartache. The end of listening to the flesh is sorrow. The end of listening to the flesh is trying to get yourself out of a mess in life. But the beginning of the mind is not popular. The beginning of the mind is not easy to do. The beginning of the mind is not enjoyable. The beginning of the mind doesn't seem like, man, that just don't seem fun. But I promise you, the end process of listening to the mind is over here where we become an older person in life. You look back at life and say, boy, thank God I listened to my mind. Thank God I listened to the Holy Spirit. Thank God I didn't do some of those dumb mistakes that I was tempted with. And you look back with happiness and joy. You see, our problem is we live in a society that wants immediate gratification. Ladies and gentlemen, anything worth doing will take time. Now listen. The only way the mind can be strengthened is by the Word of God. That's it. This morning, I made the statement about my booklet back there. I said the Bible teaches study the Bible. Hey, if you got anything off that table, you get that booklet. I promise you, you start studying the Bible, that'll change your life. Why? Because the Bible changes lives. You get inside the Bible. The Bible says, God says in the book of Psalms, He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to that word. According to that word. Ladies and gentlemen, the cleansing agent, hey, the Ajax or the Windex of the soul is the Bible. You get the Windex of the soul called the Bible. You start reading it and all of a sudden, man, the Bible begins to clean your life up. You don't see it changing immediately, but you start spending time with God inside this book. The Bible will start rubbing off on you and it will start changing you. Why? Because it strengthens your mind and it weakens the flesh. I'm reminded of an old missionary years ago. A missionary to the Indians. The chief of that tribe got saved. One day the chief came to the missionary and said, he said, preacher, chief, need to talk to you. Missionary said, what is it? What is it you need to talk to me about, chief? Chief says, preacher, chief, have battle going on inside. He says, what do you mean? Chief said, black dog, white dog, fight each other. He says, black dog, want to do bad. White dog, want to do good. Preacher looked back at that chief and said, chief, which one wins the battle? Get this. Chief says, whichever dog chief feeds most. Now, do you know who's winning the battle inside of you? Whichever one you feed most. If you feed your flesh the most, guess what's going to win? The flesh. If you feed your mind the most, guess what's going to win? The mind. That's why you hear your preacher preach all the time. Hey, spend time in the Bible. Why? You're feeding the mind. Ladies and gentlemen, you start watching the TV for 5 and 6 hours a week, and you're feeding that flesh. You start looking at things you shouldn't look at. You're feeding the flesh, and you're strengthening that flesh where the flesh becomes stronger than the mind. And that's why we yield to the temptations that come our way, because we've strengthened the flesh so much that now the mind cannot tell the flesh what to do, and we yield to that. Hey, you have got to stay inside this book right here. We have got to make our decisions based on principles that we find inside this book. If I study the Bible, I start learning the principles of how to make the proper decisions inside of life. And ladies and gentlemen, you make a principle before the decision's ever there. What? You ever been faced with something where you have to make a decision right now and you have no principle? What happens? The pressure of the moment most of the time dictates your decision. But if you have a principle that helps you make decisions, let's say a couple weeks ago, you made a decision. When it comes to church, I'm always going to go to church. Doesn't matter what comes up. But all of a sudden, something comes up. It's church night. It's Wednesday night. And something comes up and says, hey, you just don't have to miss church one service. That's not going to hurt you. But you say, no. 2 weeks ago, I said I'm going to church. No matter what. All of a sudden, what's happened? You made your principle, and your principle makes your decision for you. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. You you've got to get inside that book, study the Bible, get your principles from God, so the Bible makes the decisions for you without you having to make those decisions. Listen, you know why some of you get stressed out so much? Listen, this is why you get stressed out. You have to make too many decisions yourself. Huh? And the more decisions you have to make, the more stress that comes on you. Now, I've got news for you. The Bible has answers to every decision in life. So if I study the Bible and I learn what the Bible teaches me, I relieve myself of a lot of stress. And let me help you out. You don't have to go to some chiropractor to get some pill to take the stress off. Why? Because you've taken the stress off by learning what the Bible teaches us how to make decisions. Now listen. The mind always leads to satisfaction, but the flesh always disappoints. Listen. The contract that the flesh makes with you is never fulfilled. The flesh never delivers what it promises you it's going to give you. Let me illustrate. The mind says, you wait until marriage to enjoy the pleasures of marriage. The flesh says, don't worry about it. This is 2007. Everybody enjoys the pleasures of marriage before marriage. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but you know what the flesh never tells you about? The flesh never tells you about that. I think it's 75% of those who had sex before marriage, they end up in divorce. Yeah, I'm talking to you now. You say, but we're not in divorce. Does that mean we're going to get divorced? Okay. Not if you choose not to. But you listen to me. The mind tells you abstinence is the best choice. And it is the best choice. Why? Because it's the right choice. Listen to me. You don't understand. Some of you are dealing with, in your marriage, you deal with guilt because you have so many partners before marriage. And listen, you start getting married, and all of a sudden you've dealt with all these partners before marriage, and all of a sudden you start getting to some rough days of your marriage, and you start comparing your partner to somebody else you had before marriage. Now listen, that's why abstinence is the best and rule that you have to live by. Why? Because you don't have to worry about comparing about it. Listen, teenager. I believe the best kisser is my wife. You know why? She's the only lady I've kissed. Say, how'd you do that? It's called abstinence. Man, that seems ridiculous. Yeah, but listen. I could have always had what any of my buddies had, but they could never have what I had. Anybody can go out there and lay with somebody out there. But now anybody can say, I've never done that. Amen, this is good preaching. You see, it takes more of a man to control himself than it does to say, do whatever the flesh tells you to do. Now you listen to me. And by the way, men, if it's right for a lady to abstain, it's right for a man to abstain. Man ought not to go run around and say, well, I want to marry a virgin woman. No, sir. Hey, if you want to marry a good lady, then you keep yourself pure and right. But the mind teaches us, hey, abstinence is the best key. But the flesh says, no, just go out and do what you want to do. For instance, the mind says one partner for life. The flesh says, hey, a one-night fling won't hurt anybody. The flesh, though, never tells you that the guilt that it brings inside your marriage. The flesh never tells you how dirty you feel once you've ran around on your partner whom you married. The flesh never warns you about the marriage problems that comes inside of your marriage because, you know, you weren't faithful to that one. Ladies and gentlemen, you better listen to the mind. I don't care what this society teaches, and I could care less what Hollywood tries to promote inside of America. There's something called some purity and chastity that America needs to get back to. But we have some purity inside the homes. Well, when a husband says, I keep myself for you and your love, I mean it when you say that. The mind says, ladies, submit to your husband. The flesh says, no, you do what you want to do. Listen. The flesh tells you you don't have to listen to your husband because you have your own mind too. And by the way, I don't think ladies are subpar because God tells the man that he's to lead and the lady's to submit. I don't think that. I think a lady in her right role, no man can ever fill that position that the lady can do. Like she can. Now listen to me. It's not that a man is better. It's just that God says somebody's got to be in control inside that home. And for some reason, God chose a man. Now because of that, the man's to lead and the lady's to submit. You say, well, I submit when I want to. No, you don't submit then. Because submission is not doing what he would tell you to do when you want to. Submission is doing it when you don't want to and you have the power not to. Well, I do it, but I tell them what I think. Yep, you're not submitting either. Why? You may be doing it by the body, but your spirit is not with it. Help me out, man. The mind says, men, love your wife. The flesh says, no, you live for yourself and do what you want to do. Now listen. I'm not against men having hobbies, but men, you better understand something. When you get married, you promise to love that lady that you call your wife. Now you spend time, hey, stop running around with all the guys and get home and make your best friend your wife. Every man's married man's best friend ought to be his wife. Hey, you say, well, I just don't like being home. I want to run out the gang. Okay, you should have thought about that before marriage. But when you got married, you said, I want to make this lady my best friend. Now you get home, spend time with your best friend. Because I travel so much, when I get home, I make sure those 2 days I'm at home, I spend time with my wife and my daughter. Now listen. Because of that, that means I've had to sacrifice some of my pleasures, of my hobbies that I have. I don't do them because when I'm home, I realize, hey, I promise to love my wife. Now, I better love, hey, for instance, I like playing golf. Why I say I play? I participate in golf. Very few people play golf. I participate. Now, when I go out there and I play around the golf, I enjoy doing that. But listen to me. I realize one thing. Because I travel so much, I'm not going to go play around the golf when I'm home that very, very few times I go. Why? Because I want to spend time with my wife. I promise to love her. I didn't marry her for her to be a widow, even though she's married. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. I'd much rather kiss my wife than kiss a pair of golf clubs. Huh? Them golf clubs ain't, hey, they don't cook the meals and they don't give me the thrill when I kiss them that my wife does. Now you listen to me. You say, I don't think you ought to be that way. No, you listen to me. It's about time some of you start understanding. You married a wife. Hey, love her like you ought to. You don't make, men, don't make your wife raise the kids by herself. You get home and you take part of raising that kid with her. The mind says, boy, I don't know who put this in my outline. The mind says, exercise and control your diet. The flesh says, I don't feel like exercising today. I'll start my diet tomorrow. Huh? I know this isn't preached a lot from pulpits, but I got news for you. God does say bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit. It don't hurt for Christians to be healthy. Oh, I got quiet in here. You listen to me. The truth is, we live in the laziest generation that America's ever had. Well, I just don't don't feel like it. I won't exercise. That's your problem. And yet, listen, some of you are killing your health because you have no exercise at all. You have nothing. You don't control your diet, and you're killing yourself prematurely. I don't say worship your body, but hey, it won't hurt you to stay in shape for a while. You can serve God when your mind is strengthened and your body is in shape and you're not fighting sickness. You can serve God better when you're healthy than you can laying in a hospital bed somewhere. Ask the preacher he asked me, he says, his wife even knew. They know what my eating schedule is. I preach for them enough from down in Tennessee and even up here. They know exactly what my eating habits are. It's never changed in the whole time we've been around. I do the same thing over and over again. I have my exercise regimen that I do every week. And why? Because I run. He said, do you always feel like doing it? No. Why do you do it? Because my mind tells me to. My mind has listened to my schedule, and my schedule says, hey, get out there, you lazy bum, and do it. Let's move on. That was popular. The mind says, read your Bible and pray every day, every morning. The flesh says, oh, you're tired this morning. Why don't you sleep in? You can read it tonight. Now, let me tell you what happens when you read it that night. When you say you're going to read it that night, you work all day long. Your mind is tired. Your body's tired. Your mind is cluttered from all the problems of the day. You sit down, you start reading that Bible. Before long, you're meditating face down that Bible. When you wake up, you wipe the slobber off and you start trying to read again. Huh? You know what I'm saying is true. The best time to read the Bible is first thing in the morning. And your mind tells you, hey, get up and read the Bible. You say, man, I'm tired. Listen to your mind and wake up a half hour earlier and read this book right here. You'll feel better about yourself throughout the day. Why? You've already had one victory when you conquered your flesh. By you getting up early, you're already feeling better about the day because you conquered your flesh, and then you've had another victory when you sit down and read the Bible. You've had two victories within less than an hour because you got up early against your body's will. You read your Bible against your flesh's will, and you've had two victories. Hey, you start your day every day having two victories every day. You'd be surprised how your outlook on life can get a whole lot better. Why? You listen to your mind. The mind says, get on the internet with purpose. The flesh says, I don't have anything else to do. Let me waste some time on the internet. Now listen carefully to me. I want you to listen very carefully to this. Nobody has any business in any chat room. None. You say, what's wrong with chat rooms? Let me ask you a question. What's right with them? Some of you are listening to your flesh. You're involved in some chat room somewhere. And you know you say things in a chat room you would never say in person. Then you wonder why you're having problems in your marriage. You say, well, I'm not having a physical affair. No, but you're having a mental affair. And that's just as wrong. God says the thought of adultery is just like having it. You say, well, I'm trying to witness them. Oh, shut up. You're not witnessing them. The truth, and you know you're not. If you want to go witness somebody, go get yourself some tracks. Go out here and knock on doors. There's plenty of doors out here you can knock on. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, no Christian has any business in a chat room. Why? Because, hey, you start getting involved with someone that you know you shouldn't get involved with, and before long you're doing things you thought you'd never do. Why? You listen to the flesh. But the mind says, hey, if you get on the internet, get on there with a purpose and then get off when you're done. The mind says, control what you look at. The flesh says, look at whatever you want to. Now listen, men. He said, well, I'm a red-blooded man. What am I supposed to do? Control yourself. Control yourself. Brother Dom, you say, I have those desires, okay? Overcome those desires. You start getting involved in the pornography world, and it'll control your mind, and it'll destroy you. got to show you. We live in a pornographic age today that is controlling our country and is destroying the purity and the morality of our country. If you don't believe me, check the prisons out. Look at how many pedophiles are in the prisons where they started that pornography. Right there. That's where they started. Now listen to me. It's about time some people rise up in this area. I was talking to a criminal lawyer, a defense lawyer, a while back, and I asked him, I said, you dealt with a lot of, you tried to defend a lot of pedophiles. I said, what is the key ingredient that all of them have? He said, I tell you right now, he says, every one of them are hooked on pornography. That's a criminal lawyer. What a saved man. I'm talking an unsaved man. He told me, he says, every one of them are hooked on pornography. So I don't like this preaching. You know I'm right. He said, I can stop anytime I want to. Stop then. Stop. If you can stop it right now. Don't look at it for the next 5 months. You know you couldn't do it. Why? Because you're addicted. You're addicted. Hey. It's no different. What you're doing on that internet and getting caught up in that trash is you're no more than hiring a prostitute. That's all she is. She's selling her body to you via pictures, and you said, that's okay. Yeah, you go to see somebody hiring a prostitute. You don't think that's bad. It's just the same thing. No way, ladies, you ought to get off it too. The mind says, wait before buying. The flesh says, buy it now. You need it. Let me give you a good piece of advice. Wait before you buy something. You say, what happens if the deal's gone, Brother Dombley? Then you didn't need it. You know, that's what garage sales are. You know what an old garage sale is? A garage sale is an illustration of our flesh telling us what to buy. Because that garage sale is a bunch of junk that you bought that you really didn't need, and now you're trying to sell that junk to somebody else so they can have your junk. So in about a year, they can sell your junk that they now bought as their junk so they can buy it to somebody else so they can have some junk. Huh? Now, why? Because you didn't listen to mine. You didn't wait to buy. Hey. The flesh, the mind says, be faithful to every church service. The mind says, or the body says, the flesh says, no, you're too tired. You can stay home tonight. God understands. I was in church all these days. God understands. Let me help you out. God doesn't have a bargaining table when it comes to being faithful to church. God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's not a bargaining tool. God says, I don't bargain in this area. He says, I tell you, be in church, be in church. Listen, what are three services a week going to hurt you? Not much. You spend the rest of your week having plenty of time to do things. What's three services going to hurt? Nothing. The mind says, plan what you say and say everything on purpose. The flesh says, say and think later. You get in a heated argument and you start speaking your mind, buddy, and you're going to wish you'd never listen to your flesh. Why? In the heat of an argument, you say things, if you'd have thought about it, you'd have never said. By the way, that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never harm me, that's a lie. Words cut deeper than sticks and stones will ever cut. There's people to this day, somebody said something that hurt them, and to this day, they're still hurt. Why? Words? Hey, words size into the heart and the soul, and it cuts you, and nobody can go inside there and just put a bandage on it. Now, you better be careful when you get in an argument what you're going to say. Let me tell you, the best thing to do, just shut your mouth. You get angry, don't say what you're thinking. Keep your mouth shut. Why? Because you may say something you regret later on. Well, when my wife and I, when we have a disagreement, she knows I'm a little bit upset because I've learned to keep my mouth shut. I've learned just, I better not say anything because I may say something stupid that later on I'll wish I would have never said. Huh? have my peace of my mind. Well, be careful. You may not have anything left after you're done. You may have given the last piece that you have. Now, listen to me. That's why you better, hey, be careful what you say. You guys out here, I don't know if there's anybody here like this, but if you're a jokester, you be careful with the jokes and how you pull jokes on people, what you say about people joking at them. Why? Because you may say something later on you're going to regret. It always, hey, you plan what you say, because it will come back to haunt you. Now listen to me. The degree of your satisfaction of life is based upon the degree that you let your mind control you versus your flesh. You show me which one controls you more, and I will show you how happy you are in life. If your flesh controls you, listen to me, I know one thing. You may be happy right now, but you're headed to heartache. I've always learned one thing. Those who let the mind control them are happy people. Huh? Preacher! Battle going on inside a chief. White dog, black dog fight each other. Chief, which one wins? Whichever dog chief feeds most. Let me ask you something. Which one are you feeding the most? Huh? Is the white dog winning in your life, or is the black dog? You know. Listen, most of us, we just met today. We don't know each other. I don't know what's going on. He didn't tell me everything. His wife wrote me a lengthy letter, but he didn't say a thing. No, she didn't. No. The truth is, every one of us battle what I'm talking about tonight. And the degree of your satisfaction of life is going to be dependent upon how much you let your mind control you. How do I let my mind control me? How can I strengthen it? Get inside that book and study it. Study it. You start studying the mind. Or studying the Bible. Your mind becomes stronger. Your flesh becomes weaker. You'd be amazed how much easier it is to overcome temptation when you've been studying this book. You say, Brother Dominic, does that mean I'll never have temptation again? No, temptation is always going to be there. But you stay in that book, your mind will be stronger than the flesh. Now, you have a choice tonight. You can do whatever you want. You've heard truth. You've got to decide. I'd much rather choose the mind than the flesh, because I know one thing, the mind has never disappointed me. The flesh, every time I've listened to it, has brought me trouble. Every time, and you know it's true. Now why don't we tonight, members here at this church, First Baptist Church, why don't we come down to an old altar tonight? Why don't we say, God, it's about time I start strengthening my mind tonight. Stop listening to the flesh. Start letting the mind win. I'm going to get inside this book. I want to start reading it. Some of you need to increase your study time. Because the more that you strengthen your mind, the more the devil attacks your flesh. That's why we got to spend time in this book. Father, tonight, you know the needs of your people. God, the truth is tonight, the reality is the flesh seems to be more enjoyable at the beginning. Seems like that's where the happiness would be in life. But the truth is, at the end of life, those who've listened to the flesh, my, the heartache, the sorrow that it brings. Yet those who live by the mind, it doesn't seem flashy. There's no flashing lights. It seems boring. But when you walk down the pathway of the mind, oh my, how enjoyable the end process of that is. Help your people tonight to understand the importance of feeding
the mind through the Word of God. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed and no one's looking. You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I'll be honest with you. I needed that sermon tonight." I can equate with that battle that you're talking about. Preacher, as you close in prayer tonight, would you remember me in prayer? God spoke to my heart. I needed that sermon tonight. Would you slip your hand way up high all over the auditorium? I see hands everywhere. Everywhere I see hands. God bless you. Put your hands down. I wonder if you're here tonight. If you died tonight, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? You say, "I don't know that." Let me tell you what you better do. You better listen to your mind. Your mind will tell you to get saved. Your flesh will say, "No, don't do it. Don't do it." The flesh will tell you, "Hey, what are your buddies going to think if you get saved?" But the flesh doesn't tell you there's an eternal hell that your soul will go to if you don't get saved. If you're here tonight, if you died tonight, you're not 100% sure you go to heaven. Say, "Preacher, I'd like to know that. I'd like to know before I walk out of this place tonight that if I died tonight, I could go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure that I'm saved." If you're like that tonight, would you slip your hand up high? "I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to know that." Is there anyone like that? Just slip your hand up high. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Anyone like that? Anyone like that? Anyone like that? In just a moment, I want to pray. As soon as I'm done praying, we're going to stand to our feet. Heads be bowed, eyes be closed. I want to point to the PA man. He's going to start playing the music. When the music begins to play, if God spoke to your heart, I want you to leave your seat. I want you to go to the nearest aisle. Come down the front. I want you to kneel down at this altar. First of all, tonight, some of you have been yielding to the flesh. I want you to, first of all, get that right tonight. Then I want you to do a second thing while you're at this altar. I want you to make a promise to God and say, "God, I want to start reading more Bible. I want to start studying more Bible. I want to get inside this book and strengthen this mind so I can have more victory over my flesh." You don't wait for someone else to move. You be the first one to move. Lord, you know the needs tonight. I ask thee, Holy Spirit, help us as this invitation starts in just a second or so. I pray, Holy Spirit, those whose hands were raised, may they find themselves down to this old-fashioned altar. May they do some business with thee tonight. May some victories be won at the altar tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Everyone's standing to the feet. No one is looking around. As the music begins to play, if God spoke to your heart, leave your seat, go to the nearest aisle, come down, kneel down at this altar. As the music plays, you come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Which one's winning you tonight? The mind or the flesh? Mind or the flesh? We all know which one wins the most. We all know which one is the one that's the winner the majority of the times. Now, if your flesh is the winner the majority of the times, you better get inside this book. You better change some things you're doing. But I'll say this, if your mind wins the majority of the times, it's still losing some battles. Which means we still have to deal with that flesh. With that flesh. How about it? How about it? God spoke to your heart. If you need to come, you come. If you're not saved, won't you come tonight and get it settled tonight? Whatever your need is, you take care of it tonight. Come on. Come on.
Music's still playing. You need to come. Now come ahead. Just come ahead. Find a place. Oh, that was good. You'll face that each and every day. Each and every day of your life. You'll face it tonight when you leave. You'll face it tomorrow morning. That's good. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Flesh and the mind. You need to come. You come. Still time. You can come. Well, Father, thank you now for what our hearts have heard. Lord, I thank you for the truth from your word. And I pray, Lord, we would apply it to our life. Father, I pray that you'd help us to subdue the flesh. Oh, the enemy of our soul, dear God, I pray that you'd help us get the victory. Help us to get in the word more and to get more of the mind of Christ, Father, so that we'll be able to fight. Help us to put on the whole armor of God. Lord, I pray that you bless each and every person tonight. Thank you for them. And Lord, may we go out of this place with that message etched upon our heart. May we never forget it. Oh, I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you, folks. Well, you heard three good messages this today. You heard Sunday school. You heard morning. You heard the evening. Three good messages. I hope you'll remember it. I hope you'll apply it to your hearts and use it in your life. Make sure you go back by the table.